John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." Often the thief in that verse is described as the devil, but that's actually not the context when we understand the text.
Many of the Bible stories and verses we think we know, we don't. When We Understand the Text is an online ministry committed to teaching sound doctrine and exposing the faulty. Visit our website at www.utt.com. Now here's our host, Pastor Gabe Hughes.
Thank you, Becky. It is Friday, so we're taking questions from viewers of What videos and listeners of our broadcast here. And I've got several questions I'm going to be responding to today. All questions that have quick answers, so I'm going to do a bunch of them. There are three ways that you can get in touch with us. The best way is by email. Submit your question to whenweunderstandthetext@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter. It's just me managing that account. So WWUTTGuy on Twitter. What guy? All right. And then on Facebook, you're looking up When We Understand the Text, WWUTT, you can find us there as well. And I'm going to be responding to questions that come to us all three ways, email, Twitter, and Facebook. First, let's go to the email account. Michael emailed us and said, "I find the way that you and your team arrange your YouTube videos is perfect. I love them. They are very insightful and encouraging. My idea for you and your team is to start a What podcast series. I imagine you have a very big plate already. It's just an idea." Well, Michael, yes, I have a very big schedule already, but I think I can manage to do a podcast in there somewhere. I think I can wedge it in. Yeah, I responded to Michael with the address to our podcast. Scott sent us an email and he said, "Here's some ideas for future videos. John 10:10, the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. And most misuse this out of context and refer to the thief being Satan instead of false teachers. I hear this one often. The false teaching of positive confession or speaking things into existence. There's an idea for a video. And Old Covenant versus New Covenant, Law versus Grace. Have you done videos on that? I will send you a donation." Thank you, Scott. And hey, since you sent us a donation, I'm going to go ahead and bump one of your suggestions to the top of the list. Here is our latest video on John 10:10. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Often when this verse gets quoted, the thief is described as the devil, but that's not exactly the context. To the Jews and Pharisees, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they don't know the voice of strangers." The Jews didn't understand Jesus' figure of speech, so he said it again. "Truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." In context, we see that thieves and robbers are false teachers who con with their lies and destroy by twisting the life-saving gospel. Jesus was referencing Ezekiel's warning about the shepherds of Israel who use their position to feed themselves rather than God's people. Today, there are false ministers who twist God's word for selfish gain. The true followers of Jesus won't listen to such strangers. They will follow the good shepherd who gives abundant life, meaningful and eternal when we understand the text. There you go. It's the newest What video on John 10:10, and you're hearing it here first because it actually has not been uploaded to YouTube yet, at least as of the posting of this podcast episode. A comment that came to us by Twitter: "How is the roof fund coming along at your church?" Well, thank you for the question. Yeah, actually, we are probably 70 or 80% there, so we still could use a little bit more to go toward replacing the roof on our church. We just hit a couple of bad storms. If you follow me on Twitter, we had tornado warnings in Gary County here in the Junction City, Kansas area on Sunday and Tuesday. None of those tornadoes hit the church, so don't worry about that. But we did get quite a bit of hail, so we're just kind of assessing to see where that went. I did not see any new water stains in the sanctuary, so I don't think it leaked into the sanctuary, but we're still needing to replace the roof as quick as we can. If you are interested in donating to our roof fund, you're just sending a donation to our church, and it will go to the roof fund, okay? So head to our website, wwutt.com. You'll see the Give tab on the top right of the page. Click on that. There's a couple of different ways that you can give to us, including how you can donate to us online. All right, Jacob on Twitter, he says, how long does it take you to make a what video? We actually get this question quite a bit. Can take anywhere from 4 to 8 hours, and that's after the script has been recorded. So that doesn't include the time it takes to write the script and record it, but just assembling all of the photos and all that together into the video, that takes about 4 to 8 hours. And a video essentially is an animation. Every time that you see something change on the screen, there was something that had to be animated to make that change. It's a different picture or a different slide. So making all of those slides, somewhere between 50 and 60 slides, that takes 4 to 8 hours to do that. And it's not always done continuously. It's usually a couple hours a day. All right, Kim on Facebook, she says, how many takes do you have to do when you're recording your videos? Well, when you're hearing the audio, that's all one take. So when you listen to a what, or you're watching a what video and you're hearing me talk in the video, that 90 seconds was all one take. But it usually is about 20 takes before we find one that I say, okay, that one's the one. And even though the videos come about to being like a minute 32 or a minute 33, the audio is always under 90 seconds every single time. All right, Sue on Facebook, she says, are you saying that the church replaces Israel? Okay, this was in response to the couple of episodes of the podcast that aired yesterday and the day before, responding to that message from Dr. Adrian Rogers. And I made a comment in there related to Rogers' theology concerning Israel. He said that he's not trying to proselytize the Jews, but the Jews proselytized him because he worships a Jewish savior. The problem with his comment is that it makes it sound like there's not a need to evangelize to Jews because they're already chosen and they already have received salvation. But that's not true. That's a very dangerous theology because it would cause us to withhold sharing the gospel from those who are Jews. There's only one way to be saved, and it is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Paul very clearly lays out that theology in Romans chapters 2 and 3, where he says that God shows no partiality and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jews and Gentiles both need a savior, and that savior came through the Jewish people, that is Jesus Christ. And it is through him that both Jews and Gentiles are reconciled to God through the blood of Christ, and by no other way. There are not two peoples of God. There's not those who are in Christ and then the Jewish people. There's only one people of God, and that is everybody who is in Christ Jesus, period. That's the only way that a person gets saved. So Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. He did all that Israel could not do, and so Christ became faithful Israel. Then all who are in Christ Jesus are adopted as the people of God, and we are Israel. Everybody who is in Christ is Israel. We read this in Romans 2:29, a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. So if you are in Christ, you are a Jew. And this is not a concept that is new to the New Testament. It was said this way in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. This circumcision of the heart is spoken about in the Old Testament, and it's spoken about in the New Testament. Whoever has a circumcised heart is a Jew. They are with God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We read also in Romans 9:6, which we talked about earlier this week, it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. We are not an ethnic people, we are a spiritual people. Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ and put no confidence in the flesh. Now, there's a brand of theology out there called supersessionism. It is also referred to as replacement theology or fulfillment theology. And I imagine that by that name is why Sue asked the question the way that she did. Are you saying that the church replaces Israel? There is not a replacement. There's always been one people of God, and it's always been by the circumcision of the heart, which God does in the heart of a person. By the Spirit of God. It was that way in the Old Testament. It is that way in the New Testament. Salvation has always been by grace through faith. In the Old Testament, the people did not know how God was going to reconcile Jews and Gentiles to himself. On this side of the cross, we understand that. It is through Jesus Christ. By his blood, we have been redeemed, both Jews and Gentiles, to the Lord. 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And the part where Peter says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people, he would be saying that to both Jews and Gentiles. Those who were not in Christ were not a people at all. They were not any kind of people. They were hated by others and hating one another, the way that Paul puts it in Titus chapter 2. But in Christ, we have been called as a chosen race, a holy nation, a spiritual people in Christ. Peter goes on, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable." An interchangeable word with that would be pagans. Keep your conduct among the pagans honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. If you are in Christ Jesus and you are part of his glorious kingdom, you are living as citizens of that kingdom even now on earth. So show in your behavior that you have been changed, transformed in Christ, adopted into that chosen race and holy nation, the ways that you behave as a member of the kingdom of God. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me today. We're going to finish off that last little snippet of Romans 9 on Monday and then jump into Romans chapter 10. I hope you'll join me. God bless.
You can find a complete list of videos, books, devotionals, and other resources online at wwutt.com. Thanks for listening.